Somebody give the Lord praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. You may be seated. Good morning again, everybody. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we will be sharing the word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to introduce my topic in just a minute. But before I do, let me give you a little bit of information on where the ministry is headed. I'll just take a few minutes to tell you that. As you all know, by the grace of God, in a few months we'll be moving to Central Phoenix. And there is a reason and a purpose for all of that. And there is a change and a transition. Well, not exactly a change, really. It's just about, you know, us going back to where we first began and where we should have been all along. So there's coming a refocusing of the ministry, which is going to be more towards reaching out to the people. You know, it's not, you know, we're not going to continue to be church as usual only. You know, people have gotten settled in, and we've been enjoying service. We come to the service, the praise team sing, and everybody sing, and then we visit one another after church and so forth, and everybody go home. The next week we come again, you know, we all, you know, visit everybody and so forth, and then we go home. Well, that's not what this ministry is all about. Amen, somebody? You know, that's not what God called us to do. So we've been for many years, you know, walking and doing whatever, and God's been leading us. And, you know, finally we're going, you know, in that direction to where we need to be and so forth. So more will be coming along the lines as we go down the place that we are also moving to will expose us to many different characters, you know, which, you know, some of you might remember that for many years when we first started, for about 3.5, very close to 4 years, we did the homeless ministry every week. We went downtown and even brought some of them to services every Sunday. You might remember that. I think we even lost a few people that came around our services then because they didn't like to be around the homeless people. They thought they stank. They thought they didn't, you know, smell well and so forth like that. Well, Jesus loves everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we may go back down there and there may be homeless people. There may even be, you know, gay, lesbian, whatever. I don't know. You know, they come out of there. Jesus loves everybody. Amen. So we're going to make sure that everybody knows well, you know, what we are doing, you know, and how to respond positively, you know, to make sure that the people, you know, get a feeling to come in and you know, be welcome in the house of God. Amen. You know, one time Jesus, he spoke a parable, you know, in the book of Luke, chapter 18. He said, well, you know, there are some people that think that they are more righteous than others, and they despise others. So he gave them this story. He said, well, you know, two men went to pray. The one was a Pharisee. The other one was a publican, which everybody calls sinner and so forth. And the one, you know, the Pharisee, he strutted his thought. He just went about the place, said, Lord, I thank you that I pray, you know, all the time. You know, I fast twice a week. I do this. I keep the commandments and that and so forth. Well, let's put it in our day. You might say, well, I thank God that I am the elect and I am the cream of the crop and I am this and I am that. Well, that's wonderful. But Jesus said, you know, he said, don't begin to say, you know, I didn't will to yourselves that you are this and that, because God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. Amen? Amen? Folks, it is by the mercy of God. The other guy, he could not even raise his head. He just prayed and said, Lord, have mercy upon my soul because I'm a sinner. Well, Jesus said, well, one guy went home justified. Well, can you guess who was it that went home justified? It was the guy that asked for God's mercy. Amen. So he said that story to the intent that, you know, some people who despise others and so forth. So we're moving into the ministry. You know, we want you to come along and be a part of it. But you are going to have to broaden your understanding concerning how, you know, to deal with people and so forth like that. You know, and we'll be talking more about that in the in the days to come. You know, we want to try to reach as many people as well. We're not going to compromise our message. Amen? I'm going to make that very clear this morning, and I'm going to be preaching a serious subject here in a few minutes. I will not compromise this gospel. Praise the Lord. We love everybody. We want everybody to be saved and all of that and so forth. But there's only one way that people are going to get saved. They must repent. Nobody's going to be saved if they don't repent. I've already preached that on this platform all the time. You know, so, you know, I cannot change that. That's God's word. You know, so they're going to have to repent. They're going to have to turn from their wicked ways. And they're going to have to come to the cross. That's the only way. There's no other way. We can do everything we want. We should love the people. That's great. And we will love the people. But there's only one way that we're going to get them saved. So we must preach the uncompromised truth. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now this morning, I have a serious subject. And the subject is come out of her, my people. Hallelujah. You know, and I had a different message that I was planning to preach. And every time we do this consecration, sometimes I even take several days, start earlier than people, or others and so forth. And I seek the Lord and I'm doing things and so forth. And my mind is on helping the people. I want to bring, you know, an uplifting message. I want to bring some deliverance message. I want to bring something and so forth like that. You know, and I was, you know, thinking about doing that. But events during the week and so forth. And then when I began to pray, well, because of all the events during the week, I said, well, let me set the record straight here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So I will be setting the record straight by the grace of God. So this message is called, Come Out of Her, My People. And I am going to start, you know, and don't make any easing out of it until you hear the message. You got to listen to it. Now, I'm going to start here in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. And I will try to read some scriptures. So you pay real good attention to this message, and the Lord is going to give you understanding. Amen. Book of Revelation, chapter 18. Let me read the first 8 verses. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It's fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So that's going to be my topic this morning. And what is it going to mean to come out of her? We'll be talking about that. For her sins have reached into heaven, unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. And God said, reward her even as she has rewarded you. And double unto her, double, you know, according to her works. In the cup in which she had filled, he said, fill her even double. How much she had glorified herself and do all of these things and so forth. You know, he said, look, because she said, look, I sit as a queen. I'm no widow. I am this, I am that. I see no sorrow. He said, well, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death and mourning and famine. She shall be burned utterly with fire. For strong is the Lord God Almighty who judgeth her. Amen? Well, that sounds... that sounds ominous, but let me break it down. There are many kinds of Babylons. There's spiritual, there's commercial, you know, and you can take this text and you can put America right smack in the middle of this, and they will just fit, you know, right into it. And of course, I don't have time to show you how the great city, New York City, to feed into many of these things that I described here, the merchandising and all of that. But I'm talking more beyond that. I'm talking some stuff that we will get into here this morning. So I want to talk about the recent ruling of the so-called Supreme Court that said that they are now legalizing gay marriage. Some of you may not know what, this message will be a little explicit, because I'm going to use plainness of speech. But I want to set the record straight. Make sure the younger generation especially understand exactly, you know, where things are and what we stand for. Praise the Lord. I don't work for the government of the United States. I work for the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. So, you know, but let me put it to you this way. The LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and even transsexual, I don't know what else will come after that, you know. Jesus said in the book of Luke 17, he said, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was then, you can read Luke 17, chapter 28 to verse 32. Turn with me to Luke 17, verse 28, I mean. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Well, what did they do in the days of Lot? That was where the sodoming come from. Because that's, you know, Sodom, and they did all kinds of horrible things. You know, and he said, well, all of this was going on, and then suddenly, rain fire. Well, I tell you, we are way past the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me put it to you that way. You know, if you think this is Sodom and Gomorrah, then think again. We're way past that. You know, and it will only get worse. But we have to draw the line. Hallelujah. And God is telling you, draw the line. God is telling you, come out of her. Don't be a partaker of that. Because you don't want to receive the plagues. Now, so you say, well, whatever, you know, and all that. You know, I've got to do my job to bring the word of the Lord. Now, I don't have responsibility to everybody in this nation. Well, sometimes I write one or two things here and there on Facebook and so forth. I don't care. You know, they read or they don't read it. But I have responsibility in this church to bring the word of God. Praise the Lord. And when I stand before God, he's going to say, did you declare it like I said you should? So that's my job. I'm going to say it like he said I should. So now, you know, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, oh my, you know, they're even within us. And even as in those days, God rained brimstone and fire upon Sodom because of all the, you know, lewdness and so forth that they were going on there. Well, you know, don't you think now that anybody that's going in that direction, you know, will escape the judgment of God either. You know, it's, you know, the handwriting, I preached that also here before, the handwriting is on the wall, folks. Amen? Now, I want to make sure that we'll all understand what God expects from us. I want to make sure we understand that. And we want to let you know also that there is nothing that is happening that was not already known by God or even prophesied. The scriptures already told us. Some of the latter day prophets we had had already told us these things. They predicted it, they had written it back many, many years. I remember when I used to, first read the writings of Nick Frisby. Some of us know them as the scrolls. You know, the very early ones that he wrote way back in the early 70s. Scroll 7 and scroll 9, if you want to check it out. Talked about his sodomite sign. How later in the age, men will marry men. Women will marry women. And he even said they will pass laws for these things. So it's way back then when nobody even thought anything about it. And, you know, maybe somebody said, well, maybe it will never happen. Well, it is happening. Praise the Lord. We are seeing it. Why? Because the Bible says when you see these things begin to come to pass, then know that your redemption is closer than when you first believed. Amen? So I'm happy, you know, that the coming of the Lord is soon. But before we do that, you know, let's clear this up. I have something to read. And I have some other words that God wants me to bring this morning. And I want to put everybody on notice here this morning. Because what you see happening in the nation is only the beginning. Are you still with me, folks? You know, well, you know, what you see, you know, is only the beginning. Because the Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 7 that the Antichrist system, when he arrives, but I tell you, it's already working. Some people think Antichrist is coming and so forth. Yeah, he is coming. But his system is already working. And he shall think to change times and laws. You know, that's what they are doing. They're changing all of these things and so forth. They're already doing that. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 18. Let me read to us Jeremiah chapter 18. And I'm going to start here at verse 7. Now, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to throw and destroy it? If that nation, and notice what he's saying here, if I shall speak against the nation that I am going to destroy that nation, but if that nation against whom I have pronounced, you know, this judgment, shall turn from their evil, the Lord said, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto it. Yeah. Amen, folks? Amen. Now, but notice the flip side. Verse 9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it up, to plant it up, to exalt it, to raise it up, to make it a great nation upon the earth that everybody looks up to, like this great nation, America, you know. If that nation will not do evil in my eyes, and if they obey not my voice, then I will also repent of the good wherewith I said I will benefit them. So it goes both ways. You know, so we need to pray for this nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this nation like anybody, just like everybody else. In fact, you know, some of us actually love it more than those who are here because we came to be here. We wanted them. Some people were born here. They didn't have a choice. You know, I chose to come here because I love this nation. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, we are praying and trusting that God, you know, will have mercy on some. But, you know, we want you to know that verse 11 of that same verse, chapter that I was reading, says, now therefore go and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say that Lord said, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. You know, God is always giving people a chance. No matter how bad and evil and things, God always calls them, look, come back unto me. You know, but listen to what the people said in verse 12. Here's what the people said. The people said, there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices. We will do the imagination of our own evil hearts. Away with the Lord, they said. You know, pretty much. Well, you know, that's exactly, you know, what this nation is now on the verge of doing. We already knew it all along, but, you know, they've been emboldened by this so-called Supreme Court ruling now to come out and all kinds of lewdness we will begin to see. But let me bring the word of God more clearly to us today. Here is what God has to say about that. I already told you at the beginning that we love everybody. And we're going to try our best by the grace of God to reach as many people as we can. And God has a plan how he's going to save people. Amen? Amen. But we must bring the word of God. Now in the book of Psalms chapter 9, if you will turn with me to verse 17, here's what the Lord has to say about that. For all the people that choose to live a life of wickedness, and all the nations that forget God, the Bible says, they shall be turned to hell. Let me also read Psalm 119, verse 52 or 53. Psalm 119. And this is a challenge that I am going to bring to us today. Especially the younger generation. You pay attention to this message because you won't be able to say, well, you know, they didn't tell me or this and that. you know. Psalm 119, verse 53. Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Well, what is your position? That's a question you ought to ask yourself. Now, I have noticed, me personally, that some of the younger generation are more tolerant of everything. Because they just think that, you know, we of the older generation were too strict about this and that. Well, I didn't write this book. The Lord did. Hallelujah. And we must proclaim His word like it is. You know, so, young generation or not, hear ye the word of the Lord today. This man, he said, horror has taken upon me because of the wicked that forsake the Lord. Is that the way you feel? Or you just feel nonchalant, don't care less, doesn't mean anything, and so forth? Well, let us see here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9 what it means for those people who are crying against the abominations that are done in the land, and for some who couldn't care less, or, you know, it doesn't mean anything to them. Well, there is a difference and there is a separation. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, we're told of the inkhorn writer, the story. And verse 4 says, well, let me start from verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub where he was to the threshold of the house. And he called the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, and through the midst of Jerusalem. Well, that's Jerusalem. I don't live in Jerusalem, but right here, where I live. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that are being done in the midst thereof. So God is looking whether horror has come upon you when you see what the wicked is doing, whether you are nonchalant, or what is your position really? I'm not asking, you know, some, because some people say, well, we don't judge this, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking straight talk from the Word of God. This is straight talk from the Word of God. Now, he said, check out those people who are really troubled by the abominations that are in the land. And he said to them in verse 5, there were some other people that came after that man that had the inkhorn writer, the writer's inkhorn, which we call the inkhorn writer. And he said to the others that in my hearing, and said, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly young and old, little maids, children, women, everybody. But come not near any man upon whom that mark, that's writer's mark, I mean the one that just went, the inkhorn that went, marked those people that were separating themselves and horrified by the iniquity of the land and crying for it, or crying out against it. He said, separate those people. Don't come near them, you know, but go through and begin to destroy the rest. And he said, and begin at my sanctuary. Now that is the very terrifying part. Begin at my sanctuary begin at from the church, or so-called churches, and begin to clean house. Amen. You know, so that is a dangerous place to be if we are not concerned about the Word of God at the end of the age. And a lot of other things went through. So they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and they began to destroy and began to do all of these things. You know, so where do you stand? Are you part of the system? Now, let me put it to you this way. Being that this message started to come out of her, my people, does it mean that I must physically now carry my bags and leave America? Well, there is a spiritual coming out of her that I'm talking about today. Be not partakers of their way. Taking a stand and letting your voice be heard. You know, this is not the time for us to be closet Christians, folks. Because all the people who were in their closets before, they are already out now. Are you still with me, folks? Lesbians are out. Gays are out. Even the president of the United States. He is calling, congratulating somebody who a grown man. A grown man. Talking about his own husband. And I'm like, a man and a man. Who's the husband? I mean, it's just confusion. And the president, he had the audacity to put on the phone and call somebody and congratulate them. Look, just because you are president of the land, and I love this nation, and I love the president, and I pray for him every day, you know, but there is one that is king of kings. Hallelujah. And there's one that ruleth in the affairs of men. And I want to warn everybody, God, he still rules. Hallelujah. And even what you are seeing, it is actually God that is doing this thing, or allowing these things to come to pass. Now, so that he will see where you stand. That's right. You know, are you going to cower down? Are you going to hide? Or are you going to stand up and be counted for Jesus? Praise the Lord. They made laws in the days of Daniel. They made laws in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did, folks. Amen? Yeah. Well, and those people said, you make all the law you want, but we will serve the living God. Yeah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Yeah. And even the disciples, the apostles of the old year, they said, look, when they threatened them in Acts chapter 4 not to speak, you know, in any name and so forth, they said, well, judge ye among yourselves whether who we should obey. Should we obey men rather than God? Hello, folks. As for me, I will obey the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, that may be not so easily said and done, but we will obey the Lord by the grace of God. Amen. Now, moving on down through here, we see that what we are now facing, you know, for those of you who have been borderline Christians or not even, you know, just stealth, yeah, in stealth mode all the time. Nobody really knows, you know, whether you are a believer or not. You're just stealth. Nobody really knows. Well, you're going to have to make a stand. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And who is on the Lord's side? Moses said, come out to me. You know, praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, I was glad to hear some senators and some people in Congress and different people challenging these things. You know, people just, in this country, you know, the people, the most gullible and run down people most times are their Christians. Hello, folks. You know, the Christians. One time, many years ago, maybe in 2005, we decided, you know, even before we started the church, we gathered together a group of fine young people. We took music to Paradise Valley Mall. And we played music, and we used it as an opportunity to witness the gospel and so forth. And we heard all kinds of complaints. The people, and we heard some good news from the people that loved it. But, you know, when the businesses that didn't like anything about gospel music, of course, their voices were heard above the ones that loved it. Those businesses that were against what we did, they went and complained with Manuel. We could not get one business to step up and say, I love what they did. They all kept quiet. See, this is what goes on all the time in this country. And isn't it in the Bible? The people said to, you know, to the fig tree, come and rule over us. They said to the vine, come and rule over us. They said to all the good trees, come, you know, be in charge, take authority and do things. They did nothing. Then they went to the bramble bush. Hallelujah. And they went to the thorns. And when you have wicked people ruling, well, this is what happens. You know, I'm not a politician, and I'm not advocating politics, and I don't care too much about that. I'm preaching the word of God. You know, you can vote if you want, but that's not what I'm talking about. Let somebody say this and that. No. But you must take a stand. You see, people are taking a stand now. You know, it's now split. You cannot hide and be a closet Christian anymore. Because even the closet lesbian, gays, bisexual, transsexual, they are all out. And it's now in your face. So we need to also say, in your face, Christianity. No, I love the people. But, you know, I love everybody. I don't care about that, you know, and so forth like that. But it's going to be in your face. If you try to put something in my face, then go be right in your face. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because everybody has rights in this country. Amen. You have right to be gay, lesbian. I have right to not be bothered by that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are going to put it in my face, I'm going to put it in your face also. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I am sick and tired of all of this playing nice and doing all of these things, and they walk around all over us. You know, oh no. That's not going to happen. You know, God wants an army. God is raising an army. Not a political army. No. But an army that are filled with the power of God. An army that can stand up and proclaim the name of Christ. And then say, like they said to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Amen, folks. Because say, well, at any time you hear the sound of this, you know, sawbuck and all of this thing and the music, if you fall down, your lives are saved. But if you don't, we're going to heat it up 7 times and throw you in there. And they say, what say ye? We're not even going to think about that. We have our answer already. Do you have your answer, folks? Yeah. See? Do you have your answer? That's the thing. You know, so the challenge today is, what side are you on? Are you going to be in with them or are you going to come out of them? You know, and we are challenging people who come out and take a stand. And let your stand be known. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Because the Lord is at hand. Don't play any games, folks. Time for games is over. Hallelujah. In fact, the reason I love this in a way is that, look, you know, in the past they said, no prayer in schools, no this, no that. And everybody, you know, playing games and so forth. There's no more games now. Because it's now in your face. So you put it in my face, I'm going to put it in your face. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. You know, liberty and justice for all. You know, we have a right. You know, I have a right to the gospel. You know, one day they will take that away. And it's coming. But we've been told many years, we've known this. See, that even the right that this nation has to preach the gospel freely will be taken away. But we know that. And it's coming. All of these things are steps into that direction. You know, so... You know, pretty soon, maybe we won't be even able to preach the gospel like this. Well, you know, while it is yet day, Jesus said, I must walk. Because the night is coming when nobody will be able to walk. Folks, we need to sound the alarm now. Hallelujah. Sound the alarm. Sound the trumpet. And that's what we are doing here today. Let me read to you in Romans chapter 1. All of the things that God prophesied and predicted straight from the Bible about all these things that are happening in our time, which we are now seeing. Starting at the book of Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has already showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into the image made like corruptible beasts and so forth like that. Wherefore God also has given them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. Notice, folks, God already knew about this, even between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? They even worship the creature and all of these things more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Notice, folks, it's in the Bible. For even their women did change their natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust toward one another, men with men, women with women, even people with beasts, all kinds of things. I tell you, there's a reason why they call it the beast system. People are like animals already. You know, God can only put up with it for so long. But I tell you, God's not going to do our job. He already did his own. God gave the word. Somebody has to publish it. Great. God expects the company to publish it to be great. You see that in Psalm 68. But are we publishing it? Look at what they are doing. Men with men. Women with women. Walking that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of error that was meet. You know, I knew that years ago there was AIDS. Started from the homosexuality and all of that. There's even going to be more and more pestilences come upon the land because of all of these things. Be ye not partakers of their plagues, saith the Lord. America, turn back unto me, saith the Lord, for desolations are determined. Now, if at any time the nation would turn, then the mercy of God would reach out. Praise the Lord. But even at any time anybody would turn, God's mercy is always there. You know, but we must stand with the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, we love those people and so forth, you know, but I can tell you something today. You know, God, you say, well, God, this and that. Some people say, I was born that way. No, nobody was born that way. You may have been born in sin, but it's sin that brought that into the world. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. No, he did not. Praise the Lord. And God performed that wedding himself. He instituted it, you know, and all of that. And God said, you know, that's the way it is. You know, a man to be joined to a woman, that is the union that God recognizes. Praise the Lord. And let me make that claim right here, based on the word of God. That is the union that God recognizes. And that is the union that we recognize as well. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, I mean, anybody is free to do whatever they want. That's their business. But I'm going to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. So lest anybody make any assumptions or say anything about this church, let me set the record straight right now. We recognize marriage as union between a man and a woman. Only. Now, we love those people. You know, and God will save many of those people. Amen. You know, not only will he save them, you know, I know of at least one or two cases of people who are being like that and so forth, who will turn around, you know, and all that. And they even gave, you know, there's one lady that gave their testimony publicly and so forth. You know, but those kind of people need help. And they need deliverance. Praise the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people, you know, some people say, well, you know, when I was a kid, I was abused, you know, and all of this and so forth like that. Well, maybe that did happen. And I'm not making light of their situation. You know, all I'm just saying here is that there is corruption that has filled the land. That's all I'm saying. And the people of God, we need to have a voice. And we cannot let our voice be silenced. Praise the name of the Lord. We can't be let it silenced either also because of fear. You know, and people are scared and afraid and so forth. You know, we already knew that these things are coming. Amen. Amen, folks. You know, so, you know, this is the things that are happening now. We are challenging everybody to take a stand. Come out from among her so that you be not partakers of their plagues. Doesn't mean leave the country, but it means leave that system alone and be separate. And I will be your God and you will be my children. You know, you need to be separated from all that uncleanness. You know, I mean, the very first thing that God did for Adam, you know, in terms of the human, his humanity and so forth, you know, was to bring him a wife that he created out of him. And that is the institution, a sacred institution that God put in place. And after all these years, he will think to change times and laws. That's right. And he's doing it already. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Can you say praise the Lord? And the law of the Lord is forever settled in heaven as well. Now, people may reject, but they're going to have to deal with it. Because at what instant God chooses to bless a nation, if that nation continues to be following the ways of God, then God will bless that nation. But if that nation turns their back against the word of God, you know, like this nation has, then those of us who love this nation and live here, we have to pray. Praise the Lord. You got to pray for the nation. We got to pray for the people too. And so forth. You know, but I tell you something too. One of these days, and I even heard that there is a movie that's coming out, San Andreas Fault. Well, you know, even the world knows that this thing is going to happen. One of these days, the great California quake will start from that Bay Area. That's right. Run right down through there. You know? And then we'll see what happens then when God begins to judge the land. Even nature will revolt. But where do the people of God stand? What is your stand in these things? Now, do we condemn, you know, people who are caught in those vices? No, we don't. But Jesus said one time to a woman that was caught in the middle of adultery that everybody condemned. You know, this is where people fail and stop short. They say, well, Jesus didn't condemn the woman. Well, no, he didn't. But he told her something. That's right. He said, go and sin no more. Yeah, so that is the difference, folks. We don't condemn anybody, but they must repent and sin no more. You cannot just rub it over the head and say everything's going to be... No, everything's not going to be okay. You know, everything's going to be okay only if we acknowledge our sins. The Bible says, you know, he that confesseth his sins will have mercy, but he that forsaketh it and hides it and so forth, the judgment of God abides on his head. You know, so, you know, we love the people and all that, you know, but we want to know, let people know that Jesus Christ died for all. And he said, come unto me. You know, people, I don't even understand, you know, how the Lord is going to truly bless this nation anymore. But there is a reason, because of the elect seed that is still here. And those who are praying and sighing for the abominations of the land. You know, they started by taking prayer from the schools. They did this, they did that, and so forth. Well, now, where else will they go after this? You know, who knows what else they will do after this? until crime begins to run rampant in the cities and all kinds of things, then maybe people will start to wake up. Well, those who have felt that they were not accepted by society, and all of that, I don't know what the churches were telling them. I've never told any gay or homosexual person that they were not accepted, Amen? Praise the Lord. Harlots, prostitutes, all of these things and so forth. I mean, we dealt with so many of them. When we used to go downtown, one day we even brought one lady to church who was in that way of life. She told me her name. I can't remember it now. But she said her name. It didn't mean anything to me. Then she said her other last name. And I asked her, well, can you spell that? Because it was a Nigerian name. And she was a black American, but she had a Nigerian father. She never knew her father at all. And then when she said the name, she said it somehow, totally twisted up, because she didn't know how to pronounce it. And I said to her, can you spell it? And she spelled it. Then I realized it was a Nigerian name. It was actually a Yoruba name, but she didn't know how to spell it. She'd never known the father. She'd been in, she'd been in all kinds of things. She, at that very time, she was a harlot and everything. She was sitting right in the church. We brought them from the homeless shelter. She didn't tell me all of these things, and I was just talking to her, and the Lord said, I just made me realize what she was and what she was doing and so forth. And I began to tell her, and she started weeping, and she started crying. And that young lady, that day, she confessed her sin, gave her life to Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's what the gospel is all about, folks. The gospel will change lives. But it is the gospel that is preached according to the word of God that will change lives. But that's what the real gospel is. Any other gospel is not a gospel. You must preach it like the word of God says, in order to change lives. And we are in the business of changing lives by the grace of God. Therefore, we will not be silent. And for the people that are in this congregation, we want you to draw the line. See, because you have to draw the line. You don't have to judge or condemn anybody, but don't be a partaker of that lifestyle. Because all it brings is brimstone and fire. And the Lord just reminded me now, remember Lot's wife. Luke 17 and 32. Even when they were told to get out of the place and not look back, she looked back. I don't know what was in her heart. Her heart was still towards that place. God said, no, don't even look back. Don't do it. But she looked back. Anybody know what happened to her? The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back, folks. Don't even love their ways. Don't desire their doings. But you be a light unto them. Lighten the darkness of the world, of the place where you are. How many of you say praise the Lord? When you come into a room that is dark, folks, what is the first thing you do? You reach for the light switch. That is the first thing. You come into the room and the room is dark, your hands groping around the wall looking for the light switch. So turn on the light, folks. Turn on the light. Let us fight the darkness by turning on the light. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. We are going to take some prayer points right now. Well, you said that was a little rough. Well, sometimes you have to preach it a little rough. But in my heart, I love everybody. Praise the Lord. I wish everybody would be saved. But you cannot save the devil, folks. That devil will never repent. That's why he will never be saved. But anybody that repents will be saved. That's right. If they repent, they confess, as they come to the Lord will save them. But the devil will never be saved. There is no prayer that you can pray for the devil. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. Now, are these people devils? Of course not. Let somebody say that's what he said. No, I didn't say that. I just said that you can't change the devil. So we are going to pray. First of all, I want you to remember the stories that I alluded to this morning. I didn't take time to preach on them, but we've preached them here before. In fact, there's a sermon on our website called Fiery Funny's Faith. You can listen to it. I want us to pray for ourselves, first of all. Do you have the kind of faith that can stand the test? Well, if you don't, now is the time to pray. Praise the Lord. Because if they made laws in the time of Daniel that he shouldn't pray to any god, Daniel used to pray before they made the law. It wasn't after they made the law that he started praying. He was praying before, doing the same things. And now when Daniel knew that the law was made, he went to do the same things that he used to do. Open his window like he used to do before and began to pray just like he used to do before. And then the people had a reason to bring him to, you know, the king so that he would be cast into the den of lions. Do you have the faith that can stand the test? The test in this case and in the case of his friends, the three Hebrew boys that were cast into the fiery furnace, was at the jeopardy of life, you know, for the price of their life, for their faith. Is that a price that we are willing to pay? Or are we going to hide? You know, all you have to just think about it is, what would you do in that situation? But you don't even need to think of that situation. The situation is upon us now. What would you do? Are we going to hide, or are we going to come out and take a stand? Today's message, a come out from among our my people, means that you should take a stand. Take a stand so that God will separate you from the plagues that come. You say God is going to bring plagues? Absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, it's happened throughout the Bible and he said it already. So let us pray. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray that God will give you. I want every voice, raise your voice and ask God to give you the grace to stand. Hallelujah. That my faith will not fail, that I will stand by the grace of God. Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for the ones that heard my voice this morning. Dear, grant unto us the grace. Let us be filled full of the Holy Spirit. Just like Stephen, when he was being stoned, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he did not back down, and he gave the gospel. And the Lord filled him full of the Holy Spirit, gave him a standing ovation, and received him into heaven. Lord, I pray that the same kind of faith would come upon us, that power come upon us. The Lord said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. We need power. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. In this generation, we need that kind of power to be able to stand boldly and declare the word of God. Lord, we pray that you give us that kind of power. Folks, you need the endowment of the Holy Ghost like never before now. Because Peter was ashamed to testify of the Lord before he made. If somebody would ask you tomorrow, hey, what about this Supreme Court ruling? And so forth. What will be your answer? Will you hide like Peter hid before that maid and say, oh, no, no, no. I never knew him. I'm not part of that. And so forth. Will you hide? Or will you declare the word of God? And in case you don't know the word of God, we preached some of it this morning. Time will not allow me to preach a long sermon too long this morning. But the word of God is that in God will in flaming fire take vengeance against all the works of unrighteousness. And that is not something that is even natural to go that way. And we have exposed that in the word of God today. But every one of us must take a stand. And you must pray that God will give you the grace to be able to stand. And having done all to stand, the Bible says, take on the full armor of God. Because the forces of hell are now unleashed. Folks, you're not going to be able to be a Sunday Christian anymore. That time is past. You're going to have to take your position in the army of Christ. wherever you go. The mark, the line is now drawn in the sand. He that is with me or he that is against me. That is the way it is now. There will be no sitting on the fence. There cannot be any neutral ground now. You cannot be neutral. Because the Supreme Court was not neutral. The Supreme Court should have said, we have no business about that. And stayed out of it. But they were not neutral. And so you cannot be neutral. You need to take a position. One way or another. And pray that the grace of God will enable you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And let us pray for this generation. The younger generation especially. They're having to deal with all of this stuff. But I have a promise from God. Where God said, in the last days, I will send the spirit of Elijah. And he will cause the mind of the children to return to the minds of their fathers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want us to hold God to that promise. We want to hold God to that promise. It is now time for God to begin to bring the children back to the Pentecostal faith of their fathers. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this generation, Lord. You have to deal with all of these things. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers so that they may be escaped of the evil that is coming upon the land. And pray for yourselves, the Bible says, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the judgments that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. And Jesus is coming soon, folks. This is another prayer point. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Many people have forgotten about the coming of the Lord. These things that are happening in the news, that have been prophesied for years, some of them hundreds of years in the Bible, some of them even dozens and so forth more recently, you know, they are now news in the headlines. It tells you where we are. That means that it is time for us to awake from slumber. Awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness, folks. Hallelujah. We are calling upon the church and the body of Christ to awake out of slumber. Awake out of sleep. Put on your beautiful garments. Put on, even clothe yourself with the weapons of your warfare. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Folks, we are now going into a battle zone. We've been in a battle zone for many years. Some people did not realize it. Some people are just going about their business, not knowing what's happening around. So many people are unaware of events around them. But that doesn't change the fact that it's happening. But now we must be aware. And now we must take our position. And now we must begin to fight. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what the Bible says. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't cower down. Don't hide. Fight the good fight of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's begin to pray that God will separate the real preachers. Bring them out to bring the word of God. Because the churches have been just full of nonsense. We need people that will stand and speak and declare the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said it himself. He that is concerned for his life, he that will save his own life, and so forth, will lose it. But if you will lose it for my sake, not caring about yourself, but declaring the word of God, not caring about your personal comfort or personal safety or personal whatever, you know, some of them do it, of course, I know, because of their wallet. You know, because you preach this kind of sermon, and you lose everybody in the church, you know, and then your wallet will be thin. So that's why they don't preach it, you know. But you cannot serve God and mammon. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have to choose who you are going to serve. Hallelujah. So let us pray that God will raise up voices. Let us pray. You know, there are many wonderful people. I'm not the only one speaking against it. People have been speaking against it for years, you know. But, you know, we need the voices of the people. You know, we're enlisting people now. Not just, don't leave it to pastors only. You know, not only, somebody was praying here this morning and said, let's not leave it to the schools, you know, and so forth. In our homes and so forth. Wherever we are. You know, well, don't wait until Sunday. Monday through Saturday, you have a chance. You are out there. Stand for the gospel. Stand for the truth. This is now an opportunity for us to draw the line in the sand. You know, praise the Lord. You know, I'm waiting for the first person that is going to ask me, you know, because Americans, they like to chit-chat you up and say, hey, what do you think about that? I'm waiting. I'm unloading upon them. Hallelujah. I'm unloading on them. Praise the Lord. You know, but we love everybody. Hallelujah. And God wants everybody. You know, the Bible says the patience of God is long suffering, is waiting, giving them long chance to repent. You know, and people are not thinking, you know, my wife told me the other day that somebody said, you know, that, hey, you know, one of these gay people came out and said, hey, you know, hell is fabulous and so forth. I said, well, so you already know you are going there by saying that, you know, and you're trying to tell yourself that it's fabulous. Well, you need to repent. Praise the Lord. Now, for those people that have those kind of tendencies and so forth, you know, they can also get help. Help is available from the Lord. He is the maker. And he can take things that are crooked and make them to be straight. People's minds and emotions and so forth have been crooked. They're now, you know, screwed up. God can straighten that out. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, now, we cannot, if you are a true believer, you cannot support that kind of lifestyle. You know, you say, well, do you judge people? I'm not talking about judging people, but you cannot support that kind of lifestyle. You know, and I don't support that kind of lifestyle. But I love the people. And I would rather that they be saved. I would rather that they come unto the Lord. I would rather they repent and get out of there and live a normal life. A life that is natural. Not a life that is unnatural. Praise the Lord. Women being in their natural uses. Men being in their natural uses and not a confused world like this. You know, this tells you also that it is time for the Lord to come back. But before he comes back, you know, Bible already said the coming of the Lord shall not happen until there be a falling away first. That's right. So we see that that falling away is happening now. And then there is going to be a demonstration of the power of God. The psalmist said, O Lord, forsake me not until I have shown your power to this generation and thy glory to everyone that is to come. And I was thinking about that this morning. I said, Lord, you know, I'm already 60 years old and so forth. You know, and I haven't preached this gospel like I should. And I was asking the Lord, I said, I need an opportunity. I want more. I want to reach more people. I gotta preach. I gotta get this thing out. Because I'm not going to get another chance. God's not going to send me back to come and do it again. I got to do it now. Praise the Lord. And I pray, Lord, grant us the grace. Grant us that mantle to preach this gospel. To take this gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Now is the time for you to boldly say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. And anybody can come freely to the throne of grace and receive help. Now let us pray for our nation and for the nations of the world. Well, you know, one time, this may be a hard saying, but I'm going to say it for us now. And I want it on this recording. One time Jesus said this. He said, I pray not for the world. How many of you know that Jesus said that? I pray not for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me. But you see, only Jesus knows those people. For us, we pray for everybody, because we don't know who they are. But we don't pray for the world system. The world system cannot change. They are headed for destruction. There is no gainsaying that. But there are people that are trapped in those systems that can still be helped. Now let us pray for the people that are in those systems. Now, first of all, ourselves must be separate. You must be out crying and trying to bring them out. You can't bring it. You can't be in the fire and try to bring somebody out. Both the two of you, you know, and so forth. So let us take a minute and pray that the mercy of God all over this land will begin to reach those. There are some people that are trapped in there. You know, people are trapped all over this world. Even in all this evil that is happening through ISIS and Boko Haram and all these things and so forth. All the evil that has come in as a scourge sometimes from the Lord. You know, some people are trapped in there. And God can bring out some people. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice for a minute with me and pray. Jesus said, can you not watch with me an hour? Can you not pray with me just for a few minutes, folks? Let us pray. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. And perhaps, Lord, you pull some people, even us, out by us fire. The Bible says, and on some, making a difference. You know, sometimes you make a difference. Pulling them out, that's by fire. Not dropping them here. You have to yank them out. To tell them the truth in order to deliver them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, and we want to pray that God will empower his church to be a powerful witness for this last time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the praise and give you the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Now, if you understood that, if you understood that message, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.